Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We'll begin reading at verse 8. And you have it, say amen. The word of God declares, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited, he looked for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our focus is going to be on verse 10. For he waited for the city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is the Lord. Father, we thank you for the word of the living God. We thank you for its purpose and its intention. For the word of God is quickening, makes to come alive because it is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. Its purpose is to divide asunder soul from spirit and be a discerner of the intentions of the heart. Father, speak such a word to us this morning that it changes our very nature, and that it causes us to be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. That it transforms us by the renewing of our minds. Touch our hearts so it's open to receive that word. Anoint our ears that we're able to hear it. Father, the most important thing today is that you have your way. So Father, hide me behind the cross this morning. Use me as you see fit. We have no agenda but yours. I stand in my spiritual authority that you've given me, and I bind every spirit except the Holy Spirit. And I say, God, move as you see fit. And I release your ministering angels into this atmosphere to heal, to touch, to deliver, and to set free. God, I thank you for what you are about to accomplish in our lives. And we'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor for the things you have done, for what you're doing in this moment, and for certainly what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, you agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, look at your neighbor, come on, smile as bright as you can, and say, my next is about to become now. My next is about to become now. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to preach to you this morning from the subject matter, when next becomes now. When next becomes now. Hebrews 11, of course, is all too familiar with many of us. If you've spent any time in church whatsoever, you've probably heard the passage of scripture in Hebrews 11, for it records the great hall of faith. Our forefathers in the faith that went before us, whom the Bible declares, believe God, yet they receive not the promise. In other words, they died going to their grave, not seeing what you and I have saw, the promise of the Messiah, of Jesus, our Savior. And so they believe God in spite of. And so Hebrews 11 opens up by describing first and foremost what faith is. For the Bible says, now faith is. Somebody shout now, now, now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is. Faith is in the moment. Faith is always now. It is not past, it is not future, but it is present. It is the thing that is required, because the Bible goes on to say, without it, it is impossible to please the Lord. The Bible declares it is by faith that we understand that the world was framed by the word of God. It does not let us know that the world was framed by faith, but yet by the word of God. In other words, God put the world in its frame by his word, but it's by faith that we understand that. In other words, I believe God that when he said, let there be light, that is exactly what was the impetus for the creation of the world. In other words, there is no reasoning or doubt in my mind that my God created the universe in which I live. And if that God created the universe in which I live, that same God was the same God that made me a new creation. And because that God made me a new creation and I have that experience with him, then everything that comes after the fact of my salvation is a bona fide promise of God, because his promises are yes and they are amen. In other words, there is no doubt in my mind, no reasoning, my God, in my theological brain or in my finite human mind, that my God cannot do exactly what he said he's going to do. In other words, there is, my God, no argument between me and the Father as to what he said he's going to accomplish in my life. When you start living with God for a period of time, you will come to the place where, my God, you really no longer have any more argument about who he is. You might have questions about how things go down, but you will not have an argument to God about who he is. You'll come to the place of resolution that you believe that he is a rewarder to those that diligently seek him. You'll come to the place where you'll begin to believe that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. You'll come to the place of finding out that he's a way maker, that he is a healer, that he is a deliverer. You'll come to the place of finding out that he preserves you. You'll come to the place of discovery that he makes a way out of no way. You'll come to the place of finding out that he loves you more than you can ever comprehend, and that his love for you is absolutely ridiculous because you've let him down so many times, but yet and still he's still there for you. You'll come to find out, my God, I wish I had somebody who understood what I was talking about. You'll come to find out that when God decides to get involved in something that he said he's going to do, things start shifting all around you, and somehow supernaturally, naturally, God begins to put things in his right place at the right time, and you'll begin to discover it was at the perfect moment, because if he did it 5 years ago, you probably would not be ready for it, but it showed up exactly when you were mature enough to handle the promise of God. Look at your name and say, baby, it's about to show up at the exact time. It's going to be absolutely perfect when God brings into your life what he said he's about to bring into your life, because look at your name and say, I'm ready now. My God, I have discovered that my soul was not purchased on the rack. In other words, I did not go to Nordstrom's to get my soul. It was God breathed, and that's when I became alive. I did not go to Target to get this hallelujah, baby. I went through some ordeals and some struggles and some trials, and that's why I got a hallelujah. I've been through some experiences and some encounters with God that makes me want to praise him. And I'm sorry if you're sitting next to me, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, I gotta give him his due praise. Yet shall I praise the Lord. I will bless the name of the Lord at all times. I wish I had somebody in here to talk to. My God, because I believe I'm next, and my next is about to become now. So I gotta right now praise to let the devil know, baby, I'm still here. I'm still dreaming. I'm still believing. I'm still pressing toward the mark. Who am I preaching to in here? Somebody got a noun praise. Give it to him right now. Now, now. Come on, sit down, sit down, sit down. We're not interested in style this morning. We want substance. We want substance. And so when you begin to discover what God has done in your life to this point, you lose the argument about what he's about to do. And you start dreaming once again, and you start believing once again, and you continue your press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling. Not as though you have obtained, but you're reaching out trying to apprehend that which first apprehended you. In other words, you've had so many encounters and experiences with the Lord that you are no longer confused about your salvation, nor are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, nor are you bewildered about the promises of God, because you have discovered, Father, you're going to show up at the right time, and your timing is going to be perfect. It might not come, my God, when I wanted it to come, but Father, you do all things well, my God, and because you do all things well, it's going to show up at the right time so that I don't mess this thing up. My God, I'm preaching to somebody in here. Look at your name and say, you ain't going to mess this thing up right here. No, no, no. What God is about to bring into your life, oh God, let me slow down for a second. It's so powerful that it transitions you from the argument to a conversation. In other words, you start a dialogue with God that's completely different than the one you used to have. You're no longer going to God in worrisome prayer. Oh God, and I know we all have to mature to that place of coming to him as for who he is, my God, boldly before the throne of grace. But that's exactly what's about to happen to you. Oh God, the body of Christ and preachers in particular, this is not a critique but an observation, oh God, always dangles in front of the body something God's about to do. In other words, if we were at conference, it's easy to preach at conference because all you got to do is say it's coming. Y'all ain't said nothing. And then you sprinkle in there like a little drip of water. It's your time and it's your season. Y'all ain't in here with me. And begin to tell the beloved that yes, God is about to do X and Y. And in 3 days' time, this is going to happen. And so forth and so on. And then rail back and go, you're on your way out. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. We're always dangling the promises of God in front of the beloved. Is there ever going to be a time in my life where I stay out? Is there ever going to be a time in my life where I'm no longer calling to God because I'm trying to get out of an adverse circumstance? Who am I preaching to in here? Is there ever going to be a time in my life where some things I ain't even got to worry about anymore because God did such a work, it is absolutely resolved? Look at your name and say, yes, there is. And that time is right now, now, now. God, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That time is now. God always sets things in his time, yes, and in his season. And what God is doing for the body of Christ is making now moments. Look at your neighbor and say, you're in a now moment. Come on here. Let me help you understand what I'm talking about. Here's your content to help you to have some substance. Is it possible for a man to dream continuously for 70 years? Scientifically, if I wanted to argue this scientifically, neuroimaging, in other words, when they take a snapshot of your brain, shows that as we age, the center cognitive gravity tends to shift from the imaginative right brain to the logical left brain. In other words, as you get older, you stop imagining. And you start having logical reason why things are the way they are. When you talk to a baby, oh God, they have a vivid imagination. They're over there playing with imaginary people.
Thank God. And you say, who are you talking to? And they'll give you the name. Y'all ain't said nothing of their friend. And ain't nobody there. I wish I had somebody to talk to. They believe, because on the canvas of their imagination, they believe that somebody is there playing with them. They believe, my God, the teddy bear, I wish I had somebody, has a name, has a career, y'all ain't said nothing, and has a personality. Why? Because they're not old enough for somebody to tell them that's not real. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. But when they get 10 years old and they get 12 years old, they're filled with people that let them know, baby, that ain't real. Oh, that thing right there? No, that's for play. No, that's your imagination. Come on to reality. And we say things to our 12-year-old and 13-year-old like, it's time for you to grow up. You got to start thinking differently. Am I talking to anybody in here? The problem with that is that as you grow older, you stop imagining. My Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him. In other words, God, he had an imagination of what it was going to look like after he came off the cross. Look at your neighbor and say, you better keep dreaming, baby. I wish I had somebody to talk to. In other words, as this neurological tendency presents, God, itself to us, it also presents a grave spiritual danger. At some point, my God, at some point, as we get older, most of us stop living out of imagination, and then we start living off of memory. I'm getting somewhere with this thing. In other words, no longer do you imagine what you could be, but you just remember what you were. And because you remember what you were, when somebody tells you you could be something different, the only memory you have is the pain that you have gone through. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil is a liar. What the enemy wants for you is for you to live in the pain of your past. Touch your neighbor and say, I've been set free from that, baby. What Jesus came and did for you was to sever you from the history of everything that has happened in your life and made you a new creation. All things passed away. All things made new. I'm going to slow down here because I want you to get this. And so now you stop living out of imagination and start living out of memory. The problem is that the world has a very vivid imagination. David came along and asked God, why does the heathen rage? I feel like preaching to somebody in here. And why does the people imagine a vain thing? My God, the world in which we live got a good imagination. They imagine how they gonna party. They, y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. They imagine how they gonna walk when they get up in the club. You remember that? Y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here. My God, they imagine what the outfit gonna look like. I wish I had somebody. They imagine how they gonna order their drink. They imagine how they gonna hold their smoke. I wish I had somebody to talk to. But church folk, I wish I had somebody. Ain't got no type of imagination. Just coming to church, waiting to hear a word. It's your time and your season. You better start imagining what it's going to look like when God does in your life what he said he would. You better start imagining what healing looks like. You better start imagining what victory looks like. So instead of creating the future, we repeat the past. Instead of living by faith, we live by logic. And then we take that logic and we disguise our fear of believing God as practicality. In other words, we say, I'm making the conservative choice to do it this way rather than trusting God and do it his way. I'm preaching to somebody in here. And so we miss our now moment because we're stuck in what's next. Ah, God. In other words, we're always looking for what's next instead of looking for what's now. I'm getting somewhere with this thing. And so there's a story about a lady. Her name is Harriet Dewar. Ah, God, she dreamed about going to college.
And she dreamed about it in the age when university population was all male. In other words, women didn't go to school back then. Money and children, of course, kept her from fulfilling that dream. But she never stopped dreaming. A half a century later, 50 years, Harriet Dewar earned a bachelor's degree from Stanford University at age 67. While most of her contemporaries were retiring, Harriet was just getting started. She also dreamed of writing a book. Well, Harriet wrote her first novel. It became a New York Times best-selling book. Stones of Iberia was published when she was 74 years young. I wish I had somebody in here with me. Look at your neighbor and say, you better never stop dreaming, baby. Just because it took some time doesn't mean it's never going to happen. I'm talking to somebody in here. Just because it's been a long time coming, I feel a Sam Cooke anointing. Your change is about to come. As we age, either imagination overtakes memory or memory overtakes imagination. Imagination is the road less traveled. When you dive into Hebrews 11, you see faith at the dawn of history, and you hear words like, by faith, my God, I feel like preaching in here, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For it was said that he pleased the Lord. I wish I had somebody. God, and so without faith, it is impossible to please God. What faith does, it is not blind. It is having a spiritual imagination of what God promised. When God asks you to live by faith, because the Bible says the just shall live by faith. God, I can't go there. Get Wednesday night. You'll be blessed by it. The just shall live by faith. And because you have to live by faith, you think you have to step out on nothing. You're not stepping out on nothing. You're just stepping out on something that's beyond logic, that's beyond reason. You have something to step on. You're just not supposed to be stepping on it. Y'all are not here with me. And so it looks crazy to people when Jesus calls you out of the boat and asks you to walk on the water. Well, I can see the water. It's just that I'm not supposed to walk on it. When God says, trust me, he always gives you something to step out on. Look at your neighbor and say, you already got a vision based on experience. Come on here. In other words, God is not asking you to believe him for something you don't have an experience with already. In other words, he's already healed your body. He's already performed some type of miracle for you. He's already made a way out of no way. He's already changed your thinking. He healed your marriage. Who am I talking to in here? He's done some stuff. Slow down, Phillips. He's done some stuff. The problem is that when you come across, now we're going to dive into something more heavier. We come across stepping into something that changes your life forever based upon covenant promise. Ah, God. The problem is, it's not just your faith that's involved. God, I'm preaching now. It's not just your faith that's involved. You have an opponent that more than likely you don't contend with, that also has a faith and that believes he can get you distracted enough so that you will stop imagining what God said he was going to do in your life. And the way and the place that many of you are today are in that place of complete and total distraction. God, isn't it strange, not strange, that over the last month, some calamity has came your way
that rarely has anything to do with you. Probably a family member, probably a co-worker, mom and them, auntie and them. I'm talking to somebody in here that got you worried a little bit about their condition and got you completely distracted about imagining what God said he's going to do in your life. And so for a month, you put you on the back burner because you've been concerned about so-and-so and this and that. Who am I talking to in here? And you've been dealing with that hardship on your brain. My God, and the enemy thinks he's got you right where he wants you. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil is a liar. Yes, he is. When you come across, let me help you out. Now I got to get to where I need to go. When you come across this sort of strategy, it's the oldest one in the book, which you are wrestling with, my God, is in the realm of human will. I got to give you these three things and I'm getting out of here. In other words, my God, when you're believing God to show up like he said he's going to show up, the first dimension you've got to deal with is the realm of human will. What are you talking about, Pastor? Because normally what God says he's going to do sounds absolutely ludicrous. My God, y'all not here with me. When God told me what he was about to do at this place, I said, all right, Lord, I trust you, but it sounds ridiculous. Ain't nobody, you got that right, ain't nobody about to show up here and give us millions of dollars to fix this place up. God, that does not happen. I wish I had somebody in here to help me out. But God was saying to me, yes, it does. And yes, it will. It just hasn't happened to you. But it does happen. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting here. Take some of my highs out my mic, guys. My voice is fading. All right. So now you start believing the lie that it doesn't happen. It happens, just not to you yet. I just need two or three people to get it. And so now you're wrestling. I got to hurry up with this, Phillips. So now you're wrestling in the dimension of human will. In other words, the first distraction is to get people in your way to make you stop imagining what God said he was about to do. Look at your neighbor and say, human will. Come on here, human will. Last Sunday, I preached to you about that. By Mordecai, my God, supposedly being positioned for the promotion, but Haman stepped in front of him and got in his spot. Look at your neighbor and say, God is about to remove some people out my spot. I feel like preaching to somebody in here. Come on, somebody. My God, there are people in your position that are not supposed to be there because they don't have the anointing that God has given you for the spot. Look at your name and say, human will. Come on here. Normally and typically, when God wants to bring this blessing into our life that changes our life forever, he has to wrestle with the dimension of human will. And so he comes and says, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. I'm going to make your name great. Look at the stars. What is he doing? Getting an imagination. Look at the stars and see if you can count them. That's how I'm going to bless you. Go down to the shore and see if you can count the grains of sand. That's how I'm going to multiply you. And Abraham is going, look here, Jack. I am 99 years old. Sarah is 89 years old. Now, back in the day, she was fine, but she's 89 right now. There's no drug I can take that can help me, Jesus. There's nothing out there I can, y'all not even here with me. I'm 99, that day is over. And God comes and says, I'm going to bless you like this, and you're going to have a child, and it's going to be through Sarah, and God's got to deal, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting, with human will. I wish I had a scripture. I wish I had time to show you this scripture. I will show it to you. I ain't got time. But dealing with human will. David always had to deal with human will just like that. And he would drop some prayer on them suckers. Y'all ain't said nothing. Like in Psalms 100, he would say, God, remove them out of their place. I wish I had somebody in here with me. He would say, Father, bless them sometimes. And then sometimes he would say, look, you got to kill them if you got to kill them. Go and take them out. I want nobody to die. Y'all ain't said nothing. I want nobody to die in my dream. But that's just David. I'm just talking about what the Bible says. Y'all ain't said nothing. And so now Abraham and Sarah is wrestling in the dimension of human will. I got to hurry up and get here. In other words, what I'm talking about is God comes and says he's going to do this, and your will is in the way. And so when God told Abraham, I'm going to do thus and so, Abraham, watch me now, said, how can this be? Well, Sarah, she's going to have a child. And Abraham said, all right, okay, cool. And so, watch me now, 25 years had passed. 25 years later, I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. God decides to show up at Abraham's doorstep. In Genesis 18, Abraham sees three men, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting, sitting under a tree. And he goes and approaches them, and the Bible says he got weak in his knees, allow me to paraphrase, because he recognized it was the Lord of hosts. I wish I had somebody. 25 years later, God shows up himself, because for 25 years, he's wrestling with Abraham's will. Ishmael had already been born. I'm preaching way better than y'all are shouting in here. Ishmael had already been born because why? Because Sarah said, ain't no way in the world I'm going to be able to do this. Go get with Hagar. Now you know you got to be out your mind when you let your man, y'all ain't said nothing to me up in here, sleep with somebody else. I thought the ladies would at least say, amen. I at least thought you'd get a hallelujah out of that right there. What? What? Ishmael had already been born. 25 years later, God, Jesus. God shows up himself. You don't even hear what I'm saying. And sits under a tree. And Abram goes out and says, it's the Lord of hosts. And he bows before him. My God. And he sitting under a tree, gangster style. Y'all ain't said nothing. Now, Abram, I told you, you about to have this boy. Sometimes, I'm preaching better, y'all shout. When God has to wrestle with your will, he doesn't send a proxy. He shows up just by himself to let you know what I said I was going to do, I'm going to do. Slap your neighbor high five and say, God is about to show up himself. If he got to accomplish what he said he's going to do, he'll meet me at my house. He'll be waiting for me at the door. Watch this. Sarah is listening within an earshot of what the Lord has to say. And the Lord says, I told you Sarah's going to conceive. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. And Abram laughed too. They both laughed. It wasn't just her. They both laughed. And Sarah laughed. And the Lord said, Sarah, why are you laughing? Why are you laughing? This ain't a game, boo. I'm about to do what I said I was going to do. Look at your name and say, God said, this ain't no game, boo. I wish I had somebody. In other words, he about to get the last laugh. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. Not only did you laugh at what God said, but you've been watching other people laugh at you about what God said. But God is about to get the last laugh. I feel like preaching to somebody here. I gotta hurry up. I gotta slap your neighbor and say, get your will out the way. Get your will out the way. When the enemy, my God, loses to your will, when you say, not my will, Father, but thine will be done, he then sends the next dimension of attack against your life so that you get tired and get fatigued and stop believing God. I'm preaching to somebody. And so he tries to hold up your answer in the spiritual realm. Touch your neighbor and say, there's an angelic dimension. Come on here. In other words, my Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and I feel like preaching to somebody in here, but against principalities and powers. In other words, my God, the example we have of that is Daniel. Daniel prays a prayer, my God, looking for an answer from God, and he had a fast for 21 days because his answer is being held up in the heavenly realm. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. And the angel of the Lord comes down and says to him, Gabriel says, Daniel, I would have been here. The Lord heard you the moment you opened your mouth. You just missed a great place to shout right there. The Lord heard you. I'm talking to somebody in here. The moment you opened your mouth and sent the answer down to... The Lord heard you the moment you opened your mouth and sent the answer down to you. But I was in a battle with the prince of Persia, and I had to duke it out in the heavenlies to get your answer to you. Look at your neighbor and nudge your neighbor, because I feel the Lord, and say, your answer is on the way. God, I feel an anointing in here. Your answer is on the way. I'm talking to somebody, and y'all sitting on me. Your answer is on the way. Look at him and say, I got an angel, baby. Are they not ministering angels sent to minister to the heirs of salvation? I feel like preaching it here. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I got an angel. I got an angel. I feel like, oh Lord, I ain't got no help in here. I ain't got no help. When the enemy cannot deal with your will and he cannot stop your angelic host, he then tries to sever your connection with God himself. I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Oh God, the Bible says, watch me now. The Bible says that Abraham by faith dwelt in the land of promise as a sojourner. That means he was a foreigner in a strange land. He was not settled where God told him to go. He had to leave his father's country. The Ur of the Chaldeans. I ain't got time to preach about Ur. It was a great city. And he had to leave that city to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. Ah, God, Lord have mercy. And he had to do it in tents. Meaning, he got to pick up, set up shop. Pick up, set up shop. Pick up, set up shop. I'm preaching better than y'all. Shop. Pick up, set up shop. When you keep being in transition, it sometimes wears you out to the point that you go, God, I can't move one more time. I can't get another job. I need some stability and some sustainability. Did I lose you? I can't do it one more time, God. And what it does, it makes you wonder. Isn't it amazing how we wonder if God loves us? But we can't wonder about the promise he gave us. I'm almost there. And I gotta be there. Watch this. Y'all gotta go skating. Watch this. If it teaches you, when you're waiting for so long for God to do something, Jacob learned this lesson from his father and his grandfather. Jacob, Lord have mercy, was at Peniel, face of God, alone. He had no sustainability. No. He kept moving like his daddy and his granddaddy.
And when you're in transition, you feel like you ain't never going to get to where God said you're supposed to be. I'm talking to somebody in here. And what the enemy wants to do is come in and try to sever the connection between you and God altogether and make you feel like you out here all by yourself. Look at your neighbor and say, the devil is a liar. I'm not by myself. Oh God, I wish I had some church to preach to in here. I feel something about to break in your life right now. And so now, Jacob, God, was left alone with God. God, and he began to wrestle with the Lord himself. In other words, my God, first the enemy tries to get you to have your will usurp God's will. Then he tries to stop you from believing God is ever going to answer what he said he's going to do in your life. And if none of those two things work, then he tries to get you into a contention with God, where you're warring with the Lord instead of warring with the enemy. I wish I had somebody to talk to. What do you do when you got to wrestle with God and you're believing God for something? And Jacob said, Father, if you don't bless me, I ain't letting you go, boo, until you bless me. And if you got to break my thigh to do it, then you got to break my thigh to do it. But I ain't letting you go until what you promised me shows up in my life. My God, some of you are in here this morning and you're in that wrestling match with God because he ain't answered you the way you want to. But you better get a Jacob anointing and say, nothing shall separate me from the love of God. I will not let you go. I will not let... I won't let you go because my next is about to become now. 25 years Abraham waited for next to become now. Isaac is born. Now shows up. And when now shows up, oh, hallelujah. God lets him enjoy his now. Hi, I'm preaching about it, y'all. And then says, Abram, sacrifice your now. If you want next to become now, give me what I promised you now. Y'all not in here with me. I'm going to go sit down somewhere. If you want now, give it to me. I'm preaching better than y'all. And so Abram, with his son Isaac and some of his servants, are looking for a place that God said, you got to give me now. Because if you give me now, your next will become now. And so they're looking. And Isaac is with him. He's a teenager by now. And he says to his father, where are we going? And he says, we got to go up to the mountain and give God a proper sacrifice. And Isaac says, where is the animal we gonna sacrifice? I ain't stupid, daddy. We ain't got no goat. We ain't got no lamb. We ain't got no sheep. We ain't got two turtle doves. Y'all ain't said nothing. It's just me and it's you and these servants right here. Where is the sacrifice? And Abraham looked at his son and said, son, Jehovah shall provide himself the I am that I am. I wish I had half a church in here. If he got to show up, he'll show up. If he got to do it, he'll do it. Whatever he got to do, he gonna make happen. Y'all ain't killing me. You ain't killing me. I can't do it. I'm tired in my body, and I'm not about to blow my voice out because you don't know how to say hallelujah. Abraham got to the point. I'm going to talk it, and I'm sitting down. Abraham got to the point where his next was about to become now. 25 years he waited for his now. and now is there. And when now shows up, God says, give it to me. Can you give God your now?
Because if you can't give it to him, that means you wanted the now more than you wanted him. That's why without faith, it is impossible to please. Because when now shows up, you'll be so involved with the now, you'll forget who gave you the now.
I'm going to preach because I feel like preaching. I don't care. He said, Daddy, where's the sacrifice? And Abraham said, Jehovah. Take me down a little bit, my Jehovah. Thank you, sir. Shall provide. Himself. Jehovah Yireh. Our God. God my provider. And he looked at his servants. And he says, excuse my French, but it's in the Bible, so I'm not cussing. He said, y'all got to stay with the asses. You can't go where we going, because my next is about to become now. And if I take you with me to my now, you're going to distract me, because you're going to be looking for something that God is not trying to give me. He already gave me what he promised. Now I got to give it back to him. I wish I had somebody in here. If the servants go with me, they're going to say, don't you put your boy on that altar. But I believe God, because he's the God that gave me the now. God, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting. Slap your name and say, everybody can't go, baby. You're going to leave some people behind. Just say, sweetheart, I got to go. I love you, but my next is about to become. I don't need no distraction like that. He said, y'all stay. Excuse me if I offended you. Y'all stay with the donkeys. Y'all stay with the donkeys. Me and my boy are going up to the mountain. They get up to the mountain. I'm almost finished. I'm going to preach it like I feel like it. They get to the mountain. And Isaac looks around. Not only did Abraham have to believe God, but Isaac had to believe him too. My God, Isaac was the one that was going to be put on the altar. And he had to look in his father's eyes and say, Daddy, I trust you. You see, when God says, give me your now, you got to look at your now and put it on the altar and say, Daddy, I trust you. I know you didn't bring me this far to kill me. I ain't got nobody to preach to in here. I know you didn't bring me this far to kill me now. And Isaac, watch me now, had to submit his will, because he was a teenager with sprightly legs. I wish I had somebody. He could have said, oh, Daddy, the devil is a liar. I ain't getting on no altar. You will not bind my hands. The faith he exhibited in his father, Daddy, I trust you. And he willingly, I ain't got no church, lay down his life, just like somebody else I know that willingly laid down his life. I can't come on because y'all don't even want me to finish up in here. Watch this now. Abraham believed God, not because he knew that God wouldn't want him to kill his son. He went up there with the intention of killing his now. Here's where I want to get. And the devil is a liar, because he don't want me to say this, and he wanted me to get tired and quit. But the devil is a liar. I'm going to finish my preach because somebody needs to hear this right now. He went up there with every intention to kill his son. He didn't believe God was not going to allow him to kill his boy. What he believed is if his noun died, that God would have the power to resurrect him from the dead. I feel like preaching to somebody here. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, your noun might look dead, but your God has the power to raise it.